sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period. This is Sex Matters.
Period.
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is our intro episode. We're going to talk about who we are, what we're doing here, and yeah, and what our kind of plan is for this adventure we're on.
Yeah, this is totally cool. It was really a neat way that we kind of came into each other's existence.
Yeah.
I moved to Minnesota from New Jersey, so I've got a little bit of a Jersey twang to my voice, and I don't really fit into the Minnesota everything, except my O's have gotten longer over the 8.5 years I've been here. So, but I joined a networking business coaching group, and they hooked me up with Judy, and Judy and I met.
And yeah.
And things have just sort of gone from there,
gelled,
right?
Beautifully.
Yeah.
And felt like, yeah, we got together and this, you know, excited about the work you do as a sexual authenticity coach. And I think it's such a huge, important topic and discussion. And it's something that comes up all the time in either people want to talk about more than they can, or if they're not comfortable with talking about it. I think that's something to explore, and I think it's not that they don't want to talk about it, it's that they maybe don't know how to find the comfort and the peace in talking about
right.
it, right? So I think we all need some help. And this is, again, I am from Minnesota,
yeah,
right?
I know.
And so I kind of push those boundaries.
She's
a bit.
Very pale, too.
Yes, I am. That is so true. But I push those boundaries a little bit because I see the value. I see the value in talking about it. I see how well, when people do talk about it, how much their relationships are, whether that's with their partner, their sex partner, their life partner, their friends,
mm-hmm.
their just people in their lives, right?
Yeah.
Like it opens up this door. Huge in relationships. And I see it as a stumbling block for people that they just don't sometimes feel comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And just even broaching the subject is so big and scary. And I want to like help people remove those barriers because I think we can all do just so we can do life and do sex different and better.
Right.
With communication.
And that's what draws me to you, I think, is the fact that I have a mission and a message. And through my job as a sexual authenticity coach, it's amazing to find people who are excellent communicators and educators like you, who can break down things and come from a different perspective and kind of a full circle thinking, you know, where I usually have clients come to me where you're more of like, you're everybody. You're like, oh, like we have this thing where I'm able to talk to you about stuff and you're like, yeah, I totally get that. Or I see it this way. Or,
right.
you know, so because we have such different backgrounds
mm-hmm.
and yet we can come together talking about sex
right.
so easily. So
yeah.
it's just been a fantastic cohesive relationship between the two of us around the topic of sex and other things. I mean, we can't talk about other things, obviously, but sex is a fun thing to talk about, so
right.
why not?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Everybody, you know, either has sex or they've come from sex. Like, one of those two things are real for people, so.
Well, they do. Everybody comes from sex. That's
right.
absolutely true. Good job. Yeah. And not everybody has experiences with sex. Some people are fearful. Some people just don't have the opportunity. Some people are not willing to self-discover in that kind of a way and are sort of closed off. But sex is all around us. It's in nature, it's in advertising, it's in our power exchange and the way we deal with people on a daily basis. It happens in, you know, on National Geographic. We see it on television, you know, The Bachelorette. I don't know. What do you think they do in those one-on-one dates when they close the door right. on The Bachelorette? I mean, exactly. Come on now.
They're probably not playing checkers.
They leave a lot to our imagination.
Right.
But TV and advertising isn't real life. And we want to talk about more real life stuff, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, we're going to get down to some cool nitty-gritty basic and fun topics. I think we're going to talk about things like communication and fear and self-discovery and products and toys and partners and different types of relationships and different kinds of kink. But then we'll also talk about challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
The obstacles people come up against, judgment, shame, fear again, guilt. And the way we should do things. We always are told we should be doing things one way or another.
Right.
So, yeah, we're just going to peel this stuff back
right.
and be raw.
And everybody, you know, there's a huge spectrum to sexuality
yes.
and what is included. And, you know, there are people who are just not interested in sex, mm-hmm. right? Like from a, you know, an asexual kind of perspective. But then there's people who I think have convinced themselves they're not interested in sex out of the cultural shame, right?
It's cultural shame or just protection.
Right.
It's a way to protect themselves from feeling rejected because it's better for them to say, no, I don't want that, than to feel rejection or right. feel not good enough. So there's a lot of really cool stuff to
yeah.
talk about in those different things.
And wherever you're at is cool,
yeah.
right? This is a journey, and wherever you are and you feel like you're there in an authentic, real way, and you know that, that's awesome and great. If you're not quite sure where you want to be, great opportunity to explore, think, mm-hmm. just process through some stuff.
Yep.
And if you're not where you want to be and you know that, you feel that kind of unsettled pulling in your being, again, another great opportunity to think about stuff and kind of, well, what does this mean to me? What do I think about this? And we change over time, right?
Absolutely.
Like we grow, we learn, we hear new stuff. One, you know, one part of one's life, they might think, oh, you know, this kink thing is horrible or, you know, ew, homosexuality is horrible. And then later they might discover, wait a minute, like kink thing's kind of cool and I'm a little homosexual.
I didn't realize I liked women, we progress through different phases or chapters of our life. Like you said, you know, a lot of older people speak about the seasons of life. You know, Simon and Garfunkel talk about the seasons and, you know.
Right.
But I think it's more like chapters. And mm-hmm. chapters can be as short or as long as they need to be to convey the point or to make an impact. I know that when you're going through the child raising period of your life, if you have children, that can be a really challenging time to incorporate sex and make sex a priority. But that doesn't mean that it should be avoided completely or be made to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you have to juggle things a little differently or reprioritize in a way that you honor yourself as well as your children. So, I mean, that's just one example. And when you get into, say, the later parts of your life, perhaps you're on a lot of medication that's affecting your sexual libido or your ability to have an erection or your health is just not great and you're beyond the physical part of sex and you want more of the connection and transcendent sexual experience.
Right.
Those things are all just as valid as the teenage 20-year-old who's out just wanting it all the time because their hormones are raging. You know, it's so every part of our life has a sexual component. Even as children, toddlers, babies, there's still the desire for discovery when you're touching down there, you know, and they're realizing it feels good or they're in the bathtub and a little, you know, one of the kids has an erection or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're sexual beings. They're right. Little sexual beings, you know? So we just have to acknowledge that sex matters, period. Right?
Yes.
Say it with me. Sex matters, period.
Let's maybe do a little bit of our backgrounds.
Okay.
But before we do that, I just want to kind of address like all that you just said. Mm-hmm. I think there, even when we think about all the things that you said, there's like a lot of little pieces that we can take out that we can have these great conversations with,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think of one of the things that you mentioned was when people get older and the medication. I think that's a whole topic of how much of a priority do you want to make that?
Absolutely.
You know, so I think that's like its own little episode,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we're going to cover a lot of different stuff. We don't even know what we're going to cover in
which
here.
Which is so exciting.
It is very exciting. And we will have a way for people to send us questions too, so that people can you know,
interact.
If you have thoughts, questions. Yeah, we want that.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Awesome. That's like half the fun, right? So we will get all that information out there to the world. So just for this intro piece that we're doing, why don't you share a little bit about your history and maybe what brought you up to being a sexual authenticity coach, and maybe just a light version of what that is, and we could go into that more in the future.
Okay. I was married for a long time, got a divorce, decided that I got divorced in my 40s, and I decided that before I was going to go into another relationship that I needed to figure out what sex meant to me. Because when I had met my first husband, I was 17. I don't really think I knew what I wanted, what I needed, who I was, what my value was, any of that sort of stuff. So I basically grew up not knowing who I was. And sex was, I figured out a lot of it through church and community and work and acquiring things and having children. But the part I couldn't figure out was the sex piece. So I decided when I got divorced that I was going to take a year to really dive into sexuality and my sexuality and my needs and wants. And during that time, I had so many revelations and so much transformation and growth in myself personally that I decided to write a book. And I wrote the book, I authored the book, and then I decided that this is a message that needed to be shared with more than just in book form. I wanted to change people one-on-one. I want to change people's relationship with sex and the entire world. Like, I want to help people uncover their sexual superpower. Because once you're in touch with that sexual part of yourself, it gives you the super sauce to be able to get through anything. It gives you that confidence, that sense of knowing, that little secret that puts the glimmer in your eye, you know, like, oh boy, you just don't know who I am, you know, that kind of a thing. And it's an amazing work. So I went to school to be a life coach, and I have declared sexual authenticity as the field of my studies. And through that, I am helping people peel away the shame, the guilt, the ridiculous societal norms that have been pushed and prodded on people from the time they were young, institutional repressions, trauma, all different kinds of kink, coming to terms with just who they are sexually and owning it. Just mm-hmm. own it. It doesn't mean you put it on anybody else. It doesn't mean you have to go to the office in leather. but just knowing that you are complete and you are whole and you're valued and you're worthy and you're sexy as hell and you have this amazing energy to tap into anytime. Like I said, secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Like, how'd the Big Mac song go? Two beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on the sesame seed bun. Yeah, the special sauce. That's really, like, I think about that all the time. That's what's missing in a lot of people's lives, is that secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Just the swag in their step, the bounce in their walk, the twinkle in the eye, the passion for life. And that's what I do as a sexual authenticity coach. I help people find that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working more and more with executives. I have decided that IQ and EQ need to have a baby named SQ. So sexual quotient is that's my next big thing that I'm working on, is how to help executive people who have all this IQ and all this EQ get in touch with their SQ.
Right.
And bust open the glass ceiling of creativity, joy, excitement, passion, all fulfillment. So
that is, it is really interesting when you think about that, because we promote, you know, we promote IQ, EQ,
yep.
But boy, knowing yourself sexually can be that is a huge concern, trigger. Oh my gosh, what do we do with that?
Like, right.
we just don't even quite know what to do with that. And then it kind of turns, you know, bad, quote unquote, for many people, right? I mean, just in as they try to explore that or talk about it or think about it, and especially when you're younger, and even when you're older, it does not stop. The judgment from society doesn't stop. But you're right. It is a fascinating thing. There's so much fear that somehow if we know ourselves sexually, that somehow we'll just
we might be some crazy, sexy beast that can't be controlled. Like, we'll be let out of a cage,
right,
like a ravenous tiger that's having sex out in public. Oh my gosh, what the heck? Put her back in the box. No, that is not, that's not the way it goes.
Right, and the lack of it. We see it in our society coming out in affairs and in traumatic experiences, mm-hmm, and non-consent, in all of these things that boil up because it's still there in some fashion for people.
Right.
So it's just, how is it going to show itself? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about the statement of, I haven't heard this so often, but I used to hear it more often when somebody would be, you know, kind of edgy and tightly wound, or just, oh my God, they need to get laid.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
And it's like, it's so funny because it's probably so much truer than we give it. Well, I think there was a lot of truth sometimes. It was sort of one of those things that I think for many people would be, you would lay it out there as a joke, but really underneath it, it's like, so not joking. That is.
I do have a psychologist friend who works with couples, relationship couples, and also does tantra.
Mm.
And I asked her, I said, how many times are you sitting there doing relationship coaching or counseling, and you're thinking, you're listening to the story or whatever's going on, and you're just thinking to yourself, boy, you two just need to get a room and fuck this out.
Uh-huh.
And she said, all the time.
Oh.
She's like, if they could just get past some of this stuff and enjoy the pleasure and bliss of being one energetically and let that stuff go, that there would be so much progress in individuals, in couples, in families. So it's just, that's basically the mission. That's the mission. Blow the energy out the top of your head through orgasmic bliss. I mean, and tap into transcendent energy. It's all around us, and we would just... Yeah, no, I'm like on fire. My heart is pounding.
Different world.
I get so excited when I talk. It's like orgasmic to me. Just even talk about sex this way is just kind of crazy to me, because I just get so lit up about it.
Right.
It's fun.
Well, then you
it's
see
joyful,
the power, right?
Joy and creativity and power and oneness and
all this
ability.
Energy that's hanging inside people that... And it's an interesting thing, because it's a whole, if they could have their sexual aspect worked out, it would work out so many, like you're saying, so many other things, you know? So it's not just a one-to-one ratio about sex. It's about life.
Right. Well, here's the thing. People have an energetic signature, right? Everybody shows up for life one particular way on average. That's kind of how we judge people, actually. Judgment isn't my favorite thing, but when I look at somebody and I say, oh, she's generally a happy person, or he's always angry or whatever, that's how they kind of show up for life on a normal basis.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have our stress energy levels. When something bad happens, where do you go right away? Do you get mad? Do you become a victim? Do you cope right away? Like, do you rationalize? Do you sidestep? Do you make excuses? What's your go-to stress energy level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got these two different numbers, quote unquote. Your average energy level and your stress energy level. Guess where sex shows up the most? When people are asked about sex, sexual performance, sexual relationships, they go right to stress energy.
Interesting. I can make sense of that.
Isn't that the most interesting thing? Sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now think about if they went to their average energy level. Hopefully it's a higher energy level. It's, you know, giving, being productive, creativity, getting, you know, just managing things, you know, whatever. It's like a positive energy. Imagine if everybody went there with their sex versus down in these low level energies of victimhood and anger and stress.
And that's what you're trying to get people
to.
Because once you get at peace and figure that out, you're not in that place of low level and anger. You're in a place of comfort and understanding of yourself,
which raises your total energy level to the next rung. You're raising your average energy level by increasing your overall energy, period, and how you show up anywhere in life.
Right.
There's this principle that where you show up in one thing is where you show up in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Where do you show up in your sex life? Is that how you show up everywhere?
Right.
Deep.
Yeah.
Deep stuff.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I'm writing my next book about.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So yeah, this is what I do. This is what I help people move their energy. I help them recognize where they are energetically in relation to sex and help them reframe, rethink, take action to shift that energy into a different place.
Nice.
So there's that.
Yes.
So what do you do?
My story is not so pointed and exciting in that
you
perspective.
You have a very exciting
life. I come to this from a different, from not such a daily immerse myself kind of thing, but how fun, like how fun for you, right?
I'm wet all the time.
I know.
Sorry. That in there.
I love it. Start it right away. I was in a class in one of my sex classes in college, and I took as many as I could get my hands on because this is a topic that interests me. And the teacher was talking, I think it was actually the first day of class, and she made some comment about, you know, if you're going to have somebody go down on you, you should taste yourself so you know what you're asking them to do. And the class just froze. And
mortified,
it was funny.
Right?
And then we lost a bunch of people. Like,
do you think they went to the bathroom to go taste themselves?
Well, no, like the next class. Like, they didn't show back up. And she's like, oh, too soon for that?
Oh, you know? My gosh.
And I don't know. Like, it was one of those times where, like, I would do about anything to interview everybody that left that class.
Why?
I just want to know. Like, you know, I mean, there's genuine conflicts that could happen that they don't take. But there's also, you know, we watched... I can't remember what the movie is, but the vulva meditation or the meditation on vulva or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we lost some folks after that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, one of them, I remember one of the guys in class that never came back. And I'm like, oh, I still want to know your story. Because in my mind, I'm thinking most guys would be like, dude, you get to freaking watch vulvas? Like, and I'm paying for it, but in a class, like, how exciting is that? I get to do that, and it's called school, and I get graded for it. How cool is this? So when it is, I'm like, wow, that's so curious. Like, I'm so fascinated with people's discomforts and where that comes from, because I got my own, I'm a Minnesota girl, right? And I got my own shit.
Right.
But it is trying to figure that out and then dealing with other people. So my background comes from, sex is always a topic that's been interesting to me, but not something in my family, not okay to discuss.
Mm.
I remember getting in trouble for things at times that I didn't even know. I knew when the tone of voice came out from one of my parents, I was like, oh, what did I just say? And then I would like examine and learn from that, right? Like that was educational. So like they gave me a lot of cues.
Introspective as a kid. Amazing.
And my parents were never comfortable with sex and sexuality at all. So I grew up in, you know, Missouri Synod Lutheran type world.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out my own balance of this. Because I didn't really feel like, I didn't quite agree with everything. I didn't feel like it was this bad thing. And I couldn't make sense of it. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I wish I could go back to my kid brain, right? But I think there was just confusion that I don't think I could articulate. But of the whole, wait a minute, sex is given by God, but yet you talk about it so negatively.
Yeah. And we lose our virginity, not explore
Exactly. And it just, so it felt like this muddled mess. And so I didn't have, you know, my friends were much more exploratory discussion wise, right? And I grew up very not comfortable dating. So that was something I came to a little bit later than many people because I didn't trust other people. Mm-hmm. I had been very horribly picked on as a kid and sexually picked on as a kid.
Right.
And so it was like, okay, I gotta be careful with that, right? So going back to school, I went back to school in philosophy, but ended up moving over to the community health education, public health platform because I got yanked over there by people who thought it was fascinating that I knew what I was talking about in health classes. So I discovered there was an actual program and that I was interested in. And yeah, there was great. We had one of the professors is a, I don't know if she's technically a sex therapist is what she is, but anyway, she's got a lot of credentials around that and very into it and very thoughtful. And her class was fantastic. So I took every opportunity to have those discussions because I was just so interested. And I've always been interested in, for some reason, you know, the concept of people who have transitioned from male to female or, you know, otherwise. That has always been interesting to me.
Transitioning period is just fascinating, isn't it? When someone can transform.
Yes. Yes. Like what they have to drop and add and accept and let go of and
inspirational.
Put themselves out there. It's totally amazing. Mm. Right. So that's always something that has been interesting to me. I don't know. Drag queens. I've always been like,
I love drag queens.
Oh my gosh. I always wanted to be a drag. Actually, I always wanted to be Duke Boy George. So it's kind of like going drag king queen
cute would that be? So, I'm going to find you a hat and get
Oh my gosh. I've got
hair.
A friend who she's like, we have to do this. And it's, and I think, you know, he was probably one of my, he always just struck me. And I think I resonated with Boy George because he was an outcast. I was an outcast. I actually liked his music before I actually knew what he looked like. So it wasn't just that. But I was just fascinated by that. And for somebody to be able to go out into the world in dressed, you know, and say, hey, this is who I am. Yep. Was like, whoa, how do you do that? Like, I spend my entire life trying to hide and just not be, not existing was an okay way to be. And to have somebody just go, yep, here I am, and dealt with it and talked about it. And so that intrigued me.
Maybe Comma Chameleon should be our theme.
There we go. Let's see if I can get him to let us have that. I don't have any of my connections to him anymore, sadly, but we try. That would be interesting. But it's kind of just been this a lot of little niggles in my head.
Niggles.
Love
that
word. I was fascinated when AIDS became a thing. I was like trying to understand that whole concept. Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
That didn't feel right to me, you know, just kind of the way we were framing it. And I just was fascinated. And I couldn't ask a lot of questions because I didn't have a lot of, connection. Like, that was bad, right? Like,
we didn't talk about it.
We couldn't talk about it.
People were afraid AIDS was going to wipe out the entire world.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it was that catastrophized at the time. And people were so afraid.
And younger people have no concept.
And
how much that was a thing and how much that was a huge thing for gay
and
people. And how much it did wipe
us. It impacted our generation totally growing up because we were supposed to save everything for marriage and the unprotected sex, how scary it was, and all that kind of stuff. And our parents were scared to death for us as a generation, what was going to become of us. Yeah. Everybody was going to have sores all over them and, you know, whatever.
And growing up, as I did, you know, being in this Missouri Synod Lutheran, kind of knowing there's this outside world, it exposed a lot of that. We had to talk about it more.
Yeah.
And it sometimes got talked about or people just got vilified, right? Like it was kind of that. That's what it felt like to me.
And see, that's funny because coming from Jersey, we didn't talk about it at all.
Okay.
There's so many people in Jersey that I guess if you wanted to know about it, you sought out what to, you know, to where to go to talk about it. But it wasn't a common open discussion thing.
And I wouldn't say that we were open about it. Uh-huh. It was just that when I, even just TV, even just, or in my experience of actual discussion with human beings live and in person, it was vilification.
They were bad people,
right? Sin, that's what you get for sinning. And I was like, why do gay people get AIDS and you, pastor who has cheated on your wife, get a new congregation?
Yeah.
How does this work?
Right.
Doesn't make sense to me.
That's very deep for a teenager.
Well, it's probably wasn't fully formed, but it was kind of that, because I couldn't understand why these people were so bad. Why was gay so bad? It's y'all are doing stuff too. I don't get it. So it's just kind of been this culmination. And then when I have had opportunities to be in places and talk about it and learn about it and read about it, I want to know more, right?
Yeah.
And then being in relationships where some of them sexuality and communication around sexuality was the barrier.
Mm.
And being like, and then trying to figure out my own comfort zone and who am I and how do I speak my mind and
what's your
not
part in all
comfortable,
of that,
right? And not being comfortable and being a female in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing myself lose a lot of my time of figuring me out because I fell for the, it's not okay, right?
Yeah.
That judgment. I took that judgment pretty intensely from culture, from people, right? And that's not to say I had bad relationships. I think actually, compared to many, I had some really good ones.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but it's a thing, like I say, I consistently see it hurting us as a culture, as individuals, as groups, as a country. You know, we're so, sex is so bad. But then again, we have people who are saying sex is bad and we need to be doing these things. And then I see them not doing those things and not even apologizing or not explaining themselves.
Yeah.
And I want more of that. And it's like, well, so how about we just not do that? And how about we talk about it? And how about we get real about what we want, what we think? And then maybe we don't have to have those things and people don't have to get hurt.
Yeah.
And people can have richer, more fun lives. They can be who they are quicker in their life and do it safely instead of hiding. Like, that's another thing too, right?
So, and consent and the whole bit.
Right. So all of these things to me just come together so that the public health educator in me goes, we need to talk about this. And I think it's a common theme with much of the work that I do. We need to communicate more. And I see the positiveness come out of that. Part of the work that I do, I work with people with prediabetes as part of my work. I also work with men who have been arrested for domestic issues. And I see in both of those situations, and especially with the men, just because I have them for a long time and it's a powerful discussion, I see the shifts that those conversations make. I see them articulate themselves differently. I see them communicate with their partner differently. I see them receive the world differently.
Right.
And I think we can all have that, not just around sex, around a lot of things, but sex is such a big one, and it holds us back and it pushes us down.
Yeah.
So I am here. I am here because sex matters, period. I mean, not to be cliche about it, but
sex matters, period.
Exactly.
What?
What?
Really? What?
So we need to talk about it. We need to think about it. And you know, a podcast is a great way because you can listen to it in your ear and nobody has to know what you're doing.
That's right.
You know, and in privacy of your own home and whatever. And I think that we need whatever tools we can do to help us all get to the next step.
Yeah. And so much of sexuality is in our brain. Our brain is our biggest sexual organ.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It all stems from thoughts. So right out of the gate, your judgment about people, your thoughts about yourself, your thoughts about the act, your ability to touch, your ability to sense, all of that stuff stems from your brain. So by feeding your brain, conversation around sex is opening your mind to sexual things, which is a wonderful, wonderful progression and a way to feed your mind sexual goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, I think that is a great It's a great start for an introduction. That kind of, yeah. Okay.
Wrap.
Well, let's wrap this one up. Yeah. And then, and now you all know what we do. And yeah. So keep an eye out for the next one.
Wonderful. Break.
Thanks so much for joining us in our intro episode. We have many more in production and in the works. Some great conversations, some questions from listeners, some topics for men, and we're planning on a little bit of a series coming up soon too that we haven't recorded, but we have planned. So keep an eye out for what we're doing, and thank you so much. You can check out the website sexmatterspodcast.com and sign up for the email, which will just send you an email letting you know that there is a podcast out and available for you. Just for you. We're making them all just for you. This is a very personal podcast. Sign up for the email and we will shoot you an email when we have new podcast episodes out. And possibly if there's other special things going on, we don't have plans for that at this point, but just to reserve the right to say if we do have some sort of special event, we might send an email about that. But it's pretty much typically going to be just letting you know we have a new episode out. And right now, if you sign up for the email list, we are going to send you a PDF that Patricia put together of positive sexual affirmations. So sign up and get your positive sexual affirmations on. And heck, we all probably need some new ones sticking to our bathroom mirror, right? So these could be much more interesting for your guests and, you know, something for them to take home. So anyway, you can learn more about Patricia at thepowerexchange.co. That's .co, so not .com. Again, that's thepowerexchange.co. You can also find her on Facebook if you look for The Power Exchange. And her book is called Crossing the River Called Suffering. And that you can find at Amazon. We will have a link to that on our website as well. You can learn more about me, Judy, at wellnessren.com. That's wellnessren.com, short for Wellness Renaissance. You can also find my podcast, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, at wellnessrenpodcast.com. And Wellness Renaissance is on Facebook as well. We hope you enjoyed your time today, and we'll see you next week. And to leave you with a quote from Kaylee on Firefly, have good sex.